Welcome everybody to episode 135, the You Can't Comp This NBA Trading Card Podcast. We are your hosts, Adam, Amy, and Russell Gibson. And today we are joined by someone who's a bit of a pop culture sensation in the hobby.
We've definitely got a massive guest coming on with us today, but can we talk about our listeners in Central Coast Radio first?
We can.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having us.
We did a thing. We're on the radio. How did we get here?
We are here. So what I was thinking about last week was what we probably didn't do very well is introduce ourselves and also introduce our social medias, because there's a couple of times we're talking about the Facebook page.
Yep.
We're talking about Instagram. So why don't we just try and hook people into the Facebook group, Instagram, if they do want to join, because we do put all of the card information on that we're looking at each show. So then you can look at the cards as, you know, the show's coming along. So Instagram at You Can't Comp This.
It's all pretty much the same.
Do we need to spell it out? I'm not too sure, but.
Well, you can do it. We can spell it out once and it's pretty much it for all the socials, isn't it?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
YOUCANTCOMPTHIS. And if you search for that on Facebook, you'll also find our group, You Can't Comp This NBA Trading Card Podcast. And then if you are a Twitter or X user, same thing. You'll find us on there.
You'll be able to find us on the socials. We are Insta is where we do share a little bit of content, other people's stories and the old X. I don't know. X and Twitter are confusing these days.
X, we don't get a lot of interaction with. Instagram is growing, but I'd say Facebook is our main bread and butter, where we get a lot of people commenting and joining into the live feeds too. As we record, we broadcast this too. So
true. We've got the Facebook community is very, very active. So yeah, definitely worth jumping in, and if you want to have your say on a card or a topic we've discussed, jump onto the Facebook group for sure.
So I think without any further ado, we bring on Tyson.
Let's do it.
Tyson, how are you today?
I'm going well, thank you. How are you guys going?
Very well, very well today.
Potentially we're a bit hungover from celebrating being on the radio today. This is also a possibility.
Nice. Good. Congratulations.
Thanks. So, Tyson, thank you so much for coming on board today. I think we should start with the questions that I love to talk to people about. How did you get started in the hobby? But I think the first thing we should really do is just give you a chance to introduce yourself and just tell everybody what you do, because it's a really interesting story, I think. So it has to be told.
Oh, that's my favorite thing to do.
I thought we were going to say,
do you mean talk about yourself?
It's actually my least favorite thing. Nah, just a story. I'm a designer, artist. I've been doing it since 2005, so I think it's like 20 years this year, the 20th year. So I just started for fun back in high school, because I didn't really excel in anything, and like in school wise, and I love sport, and I just kind of just, that was the only thing I was good at, like just Photoshop, drawing, stuff like that in school. And I was just like, at the time, there really wasn't anything in the sports creative space. Like, this is well before social media. This is like forum, like back when forums were kind of big.
Yeah.
I was just like, why don't I like just make, instead of doing design stuff and art stuff, just random stuff, why don't I do it for actually like combine the two things I like, which is design and art and sport, and mainly basketball, really, like 99% basketball. And that's kind of how it all started. And at the time, there really wasn't a community. It's not like it was today. It is today, sorry, with like social media and just the massive sports creative community. Back then it was like nothing. So I would go on forums and people would be like, oh, I want a wallpaper of the Denver Nuggets. I want an avatar or signature of Kevin Garnett. And I just make them free for people and have my name in the corner. And that's kind of the groundwork of where it all started.
Yeah, right. Wow. Just getting repetitions, basically.
Yeah, just having fun and just sharing it on forums. And then I guess over time, sports, teams, leagues, agencies, players, whatever, just picked it up, and then it just kind of never looked back. But honestly, I feel like I was pretty lucky, because I kind of did it when no one else was doing it. So it was kind of like, there was a period where it's like, if you wanted cool designs or art and sport, I was kind of the go-to guy. Whereas now there's like hundreds and thousands
of
creatives out there who are just amazing. There's like 14-year-old kids that like do work as good as me or arguably better than me. And it's just like, wow, like, you know, pretty insane. Yeah. But back then it was like, there wasn't really a community.
Yeah. Do you remember the first, I suppose, first time you were approached?
Yeah, well, like, I guess like how most people, it's like, I shouldn't really be saying it because I hate kind of like contests, like, because like they get a bunch of people to work for free to kind of give away a lame prize. But I was a kid, so I was just like, I'll go into that. And it was the Phoenix Suns. They had a magazine cover contest, and I hated the Phoenix Suns, like, because I was a Lakers fan, and this was during like the Rajah Bell, Kobe, you know. Like,
yep.
You know, this is like the playoff series and everything, Nash stealing Kobe's MVPs, all that stuff.
I was going to say, yeah, the Nash, Nash has got like, one of Kobe's MVPs.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so I did that and I won the contest or whatever. And a part of the contest, I guess for winning the contest, you got a copy of it and you got a bio about yourself in the new, inside the cover.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They asked me a bunch of questions or like favorite player, and I say Kobe Bryant, favorite team, Los Angeles Lakers, and like, we can't put that in. And I was like, oh, fair enough. But they felt bad, so they were like, well, instead of putting the bio about yourself, what about we just give you details to the Lakers instead? And I was like, yeah, that's a good trade. And they did. And I was either 16 or 17, I can't really remember. I probably said both numbers over time, but that happened. And then Lakers reached out to me and they're like, cool, do you want to start doing some like design work for us? And like, was working for them at that age in high school. And like the US, they're kind of still, they were paying by checks. So I get a check. I still got some of them around, a check with the Lakers logo on it and my name on it, which is pretty cool. Like,
that is amazing.
Going into a bank, and I went to a pretty scummy school, like a public school, like, and it was just going into the bank, like the bank tellers would freak out seeing a Lakers logo on there, and they thought I played for the Lakers, but I definitely didn't.
Have you sent any of those to PSA to be graded?
No, I haven't. But that
people actually are into that stuff these days. You know, that could be collectible, man.
That's
authenticated, isn't it, these days?
Yeah. But even I was working for the Knicks, like, just up until COVID happened, and even they were still sending checks, bank checks out to me, which is wild.
America is so backwards with some things.
Yeah.
But in saying that, we actually just got back from the States this year and cash is pretty much gone. You can do touchless everywhere. COVID forced them into a corner. You know, they were like one of the last countries to be still using cash.
Yeah, none of the sports venues accept cash that I've been to of late there. Like, it's all, it's very much like Australia now, isn't it? Like, you walk in, you're forced to use. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that's how you got started, the current work you're doing. And maybe just tell us a bit more about, you know, what you're currently doing. Because I think there's definitely going to be people out there that need to know a bit more about you.
What I'm currently doing now, I guess like the first 15 or so years I really wasn't doing what I'm doing now, so more so in trading card space. I started working Tops in 2014, so it's actually been like 10 years, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But again, that was like one of random things. They literally, I just got an email saying, we've seen your work on Instagram, because I worked for the NBA at that stage. I'd just post cool graphics. Someone would have a big game, like Curry would score 50, and the NBA would be like, hey, we need something in an hour, just make it look cool. And I'd post it and they'd put it up on social. And then, so Tops were kind of seeing this stuff that was going up and being like, oh, can we do this kind of stuff but for cards? And I was like, yeah, cool, let's do it. So they went from wanting me to do one insert, and then I kind of, I think either I did it or I don't know how the process went, but maybe I provided a draft and they said, nah, scrap the insert, let's just do a whole box, like a whole product line, and it's of you, which was called Tops Fire. Which later, at the start, it didn't have my name on it, but later it did. So a lot of people didn't know it was my work early on, but all Tops Fire was.
Yeah.
And it started with NFL, 2014 Tops Fire NFL. But I was pretty young back then doing that. And then it went to baseball because that was their other license. And then we'd done USC and a bunch of other stuff, but that's kind of how it started.
The Bang Man March Gold Edition is now live. Limited edition number of boxes being packed up. which include 23-24 Prism Hobby Packet, 23-24 Prism Hobby Packet again, 22-23 Select Hobby Packet, 21-22 Select Hobby Packet, 21-22 Select H2, 21-22 Prism Fast Break, payment options, PayID, PayPal, Afterpay, ZipPay. He's got it all there for you. 6 big packets, 3 rookie classes, $4.99 delivered to your door in the unmissable Bang Man packaging. Use the promo code You Can't Comp This for a $15 discount. Thank you so much, Amir and team at Bang Man, for supporting the show.
Since 2020, I started working, you know, I've been doing cards for 6-7 years with Topps, and I've worked also for like Upper Deck and Panini and Fanatics and Steiner Sports, all the kind of ones. And I thought, well, you know.
What about Jersey Fusion? Have you done any work for them?
not Jersey Fusion.
I think. Who do you think they got to cut out the patches on those cards, man?
Oh, I don't know. Probably myself. It could be myself. I'm pretty bad at cutting.
So, I mean, not even the intern would own up to that, surely.
No, it would have to be someone's kid. Yeah. I don't know. It's pretty shocking. But, yeah, that stuff makes me laugh. I don't even know how legally they can sell that stuff. But, you know, I don't know. I
guess it must have a legal background of some description that gets them out of trouble because, yeah.
Yeah, not sure. I guess you can't see what you get. Like, it's not on the packaging. So, it's like, who knows? Yeah, like, who knows what's inside? Like,
there's actually a new Jersey Fusion coming out, and it's all graded cards with the patch like in the thing. Sorry to segue into that.
Surely they'll get better over time. Surely they'll see the comments refine it. But
I think the cutting's a little bit straighter, that's for sure. Yeah. Sorry, mate. I completely interrupted you. You're talking about working for all the different card companies.
Yeah. So I'd done all that, and then it was like 2020, and like, you know, obviously things were picking up in 2020, and I've done pretty good in terms of like saving money and just working really hard for myself, and everything was happening in 2020, and I just saw this, like, everyone, you know, cards going crazy and all my stuff, like the print runs, I'd sell stuff and I was getting royalties, very small royalties, but and it was selling a lot, and I was like, man, like, surely I can just make cards myself, like, instead of just working with the companies. And that kind of just opened my eyes, and I was just like, oh, you know, at the time, I can't really say the number, but, you know, like, you know, Tatum cost me like half my house at the time. And I was just like, man, I just went all in. I was like, you know what, like, effort, like, you got to take risks in life. And I wouldn't be at that point anyway if I hadn't taken risks. I did. And that went really well. It sold out very quickly. But I knew if it didn't go well in the first minute, it wasn't going to go well at all. So I was like sweating, like I was so nervous. And I know like the big company, I don't want to go into specifics because there's always like issues coming up. The big companies were cool with me doing it. But then obviously when they found out it sold out in a minute, they hated that I was doing it, which was hilarious. Like,
oh, let him have a crack. Worries. And then it sells out and they're like, this can't be happening.
That's exactly what happened. So at that point, that kind of motivated me. And I was like, nah. Like, I gotta go all in on this, because like, if people were trying to stop me, they're trying to stop me for a reason. And that really motivated me. If they, I probably wouldn't even be doing it today if they just didn't care, because I would have just probably like, oh, well, it was fun while it lasted.
Yeah, sure.
Especially like when things started to slow down, like in a year into it, probably when, you know, maybe my stuff became a bit repetitive or I wasn't working with the right athletes. I don't know. Like, I definitely felt like stopping, but I was like, nah, I just stayed motivated. I wanted to just keep going. So that was kind of crazy when Tatum, like, I really appreciate his management and everything also just sticking up for me, because like they had the companies going at them and they stack up. They said, nah, we love Tyson. We did deal with him and it was all signed off and all good. Let's go. Like, you know, we're happy to be the first player to do it. So, and then ever since then, it's been pretty, pretty hectic, but pretty fun at the same time. Wouldn't trade it for anything. I've learned a lot about people, business, myself, family, friends. I've seen the best and worst out of people across the last 4 years, sadly. But it's been, I think I haven't experienced this in any other format of work. You know, previous to this, I was working for the NBA for 8 years, and like it was just like, see, get a job, do the job, get paid. There was no risk. Like, I don't think there's any fun in that. Like, I kind of like the thrill, you know, like betting on yourself, paying an athlete up front and trying to, like, you know, recruit the funds back. And yeah, there's something about the thrill that excites me.
Yeah. It is a huge outlay, I'd imagine, too. And then you're just fully backing yourself and your talent. Obviously the talent of the athlete is a factor, but you're backing your art, your vision.
Yeah. And yeah, it is like, you know, I thought at the start it was just all the athletes, but I've seen other artists do it. And unfortunately a lot of their stuff hasn't sold or hasn't done well, which is obviously no knock on them, but like, you know, I think they just saw the industry pick up and they just jumped into it. Whereas I had, honestly, like, I guess one thing I didn't speak about was, like, before I started selling, I was doing 16 years or 15 years, I was giving people free wallpapers, free, like, you know, it's not huge, but like people had thousands of wallpapers. I just make free stuff. Like, people could download it to their phones, desktop computers, anything, for like 15 years.
Yeah. And you had a body of work that was already there and the connections were there. And
yeah. And then also I feel like people were like, man, this guy gave me so much content, free stuff, like, over the years, I'm happy to support him, you know, whereas because, you know, I've never sold anything for my first 15 years. I was like, I don't have the rights. I don't have the player's license, likeness. And I worked for the companies, they just sold it themselves. So I think that helped, the fact that people were like, oh, well, yeah, you know, this guy's been giving us a lot of free stuff over the years. We're happy to support him. And that helped for sure, played the slow game. And yeah, I think seeing other people haven't successfully done it with the card releases, it kind of has made me think, oh, wow, like I am doing a really good job. Like, this isn't easy because other people are failing, and it's been crazy. It's been absolutely crazy.
Thank you, EJ Cards, for your long and ongoing support of our podcast. EJ Cards are a specialist card shop. They are located Shop 3, 2 to 4 Whitehorse Road in Blackburn. Also find EJ Cards at ejcards.com.au. On their webpage, you will find an absolute huge range of Pokemon, football singles, team coach wildcards, NBA, soccer, gaming, supplies, sales, reverse auctions, mystery packs for NBA, Pokemon. Also, go onto Facebook and find their break page, EJ Breaks. And don't forget the special promo code for You Can't Comp This listeners. When you go to checkout, after spending greater than $50, use the promo code that you can find on the You Can't Comp This Facebook page. Thank you, EJ Cards, for your ongoing support. And has that impacted your ability to work with, say, Panini and Fanatics? Or have you now come to a place where you actually are all working together and they're okay with it?
Oh, I don't know.
Should we move on to the next question?
No, yeah. I don't. I honestly, I don't know. I'm still good with Topps. Topps is owned by Fanatics now, so
yeah, that's right.
Like, so, yes.
So you're still working with Topps?
Yeah, I think so. I was. But I think the people, I get along with everyone at Topps really well. You know, a lot of the people that are there now were there when I started working with them. So I love the people at Topps. I get along great with them.
Yeah.
I don't see myself working with Panini, but also with Fanatics, I'm not sure, because like, it's a difficult situation, because if Fanatics own Topps. So for example, if Topps, like, let's just like play it simple. Topps want to do something with me, Fanatics have an issue with me, I assume they'll just cut it, you know, because they own Topps now. So it's a bit weird. So
is it possible that would go the other way though, that Topps would actually vouch for you and like iron it out with them?
I don't know. Their hands are tied sometimes, because the people at Topps, I think the way it's structured is Fanatics Collectibles is a business, and there's a CEO there, and there's guys in suits up there, and Topps are kind of sit within that. So yeah, it's always been strange. Fanatics has always been strange, because even from the get-go, the first release I did, they said they had an exclusivity with Jason Tatum. and that they had an exclusivity with memorabilia, and they said that what I sell is memorabilia. It's not trading cards. And I was like, I don't understand. I sell trading cards. And they said, no, a trading card is found inside a pack. You sell them individually, which is just crazy because, like, I mean, Topps now, Panini Instant, like, they're all,
wow.
Every day Topps launches something that's a trading card, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, individual. So I was like, that's crazy. But now on the flip side, I'm getting the other attack where they'll have an athlete being, like, signed to a memorabilia deal but not a trading card. Sorry,
trading card, not memorabilia.
And then they're flipping down. And they're like, oh, no, you can't sign with him. And I'm like, but you don't have a memorabilia deal. So it's a bit of a strange one. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just big businesses, like, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But your working relationship, it sounds like, with Topps is you've got you've still got positive connections within Topps, and in turn, I guess that means Fanatics to an extent.
Yeah, yeah. And I honestly don't do anything to piss them off. Like, you know, I feel like I can put out a product that people like, and you know, and I think it's helping the hobby. I think in a perfect world, there's no exclusivities. And, you know, I grew up collecting cards in the late 90s and, or mid 90s, sorry. And I just remember there being just a wide range of stuff. And I bought the stuff that I like most, but now there's just no option for that. You kind of get forced what you can buy.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine, like, if there was, like, Upper Deck, Panini, Topps, all making NBA cards. Like, how good would the products be, because they're fighting for customers. They don't have the monopoly. They're literally fighting for your attention. Yeah. And it would be crazy. You would
get game-worn memorabilia, that's gone. Sticker autographs, that's gone. I think that's the two big things that comes to my mind straight away.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, the sticker stuff's insane, especially for me. Like,
immaculate.
Yeah, yeah. I've never done a sticker. I mean, I've had plenty. I understand how more – it's so much more profitable to do stickers, like crazy. It's insane how much more profitable a sticker is, and then also how much easier it is.
Can you talk about the logistics of getting athletes to sign an on-card autograph and maybe make a comparison to a sticker?
Yeah, for sure.
Are you allowed to do that? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess, like, in simple terms, like, let's say you want to sit down with – I don't know. If you want to sit down,
Halliburton,
okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll sign an agreement with Halliburton to sit down.
A memorabilia agreement.
No, trading card agreement to sit down, sign with him for X amount of autos. And then I got to get everything ready for that. Like, you know, once I leave that room, I can't get anything signed. So with stickers, I could just for example, a bigger company, they'll just mail in stickers. They're just mailing stickers to the players all the time, and then they'll end up getting back to them. But I guess I understand why they do it. It's more profitable and also easier to do. So for example, say if Halliburton goes off next year, they don't even have him under contract. They can use those stickers in 2 years' time, 3 years' time, whatever. Or he changes team. Like, I was so close to doing a deal with Kevin Durant, and if I did the deal, this was like a year or so back, I would have had Brooklyn cards. He would have signed them on card, and then he left the next week. Now imagine that.
Wow. I'd
have been screwed. But if there were stickers, I could have literally just done actually what Leaf did, was just make a mock-up of a Phoenix Suns card and just go, oh, like, he signed with us today, and just bang. You know, put a sticker on it. And I think, yeah, so, and for example, there's other things, like, I think you see so many more stickers coming, just keep coming, especially with the instant stuff, because, like, yeah, if LeBron breaks a record, like the 40K one, it was interesting they didn't put autos on that, but if there's a sticker, it's all ready to go. It's all sitting there. Changing team, how big the player's gone, like, you don't have to, if I want to sit down and sign with Halliburton again, I've got to give him a bag of money again. If I had stickers just sitting there, I could just wait for, oh, okay, Indiana Pacers on the Eastern Conference Finals. Cool. I'll just launch a card, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess that sort of emphasizes the extra value people individually put on card autographs.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think that's why they are more valuable. And I love it when the companies use stickers, because I think that creates more of a point of difference.
Yeah.
But for me, I would never go out and go, oh, they're stupid for using stickers. They're 100% doing the right thing. Like,
Price point. I think that's really important too. For me, that is important in the hobby. Hey, I'm just sitting here. I'm just almost having like a light bulb go off. Why don't you do instant cards? Why don't you get some athletes to sign stuff and then take that opportunity of like photoshopping up something schmick when...
But then it would have to be a sticker, I guess.
Yeah. But is it...
Nah.
That's not your gen.
Nah, okay. See? Nah. Some integrity there. I like it. It's like, no, the brand is it's all on card.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be, yeah. Like,
we're not talking to Panini, who's going to put stickers on Immaculate product.
I can get creative, though. So, for example, I got Kyle Kuzma to write 2020 champs. I did it on a card before he was even a champion. So, I've got a good relationship with a lot of them. Like, that was a risk. So, when they won the championship, I launched that. And he'd already signed it. If he didn't, again, that's another risk. I'd have to throw it in the bin. Steph Curry, when he got the 2974, when he broke the record, he had already signed those cards 2 months before. I'm very appreciative that he, because a lot of these guys are like superstitious and things like that. So to sign a card that says you broke a record when you haven't is actually a big thing. I don't know if people realize that. And it's crazy because, like, you know, I got his first finals MVP card, night card. The night Panini card came out like a year later, autograph, like 12 months later, I think. So I already had that 12 months before, which is insane. On card as well, not sticker. So there's a few things I've done. I know there's other kind of moment things I've done, which I can't really think off the top of my head, but I definitely try and do it if I can. But usually you just kind of have to predict the future sort of thing.
Yeah, right.
It's pretty cool. Like getting a moment like that of Steph's, and I think it's no secret on the show that I'm an advocate that Steph is going to be one of those historical figures as far as someone that revolutionized and changed the game. But getting like a point in history on a card like that is a pretty phenomenal feat.
Yeah.
Like as far as on your resume anyway. Like,
yeah. So I think, I definitely appreciate the opportunity to have Steph Curry cards out there. Like, yeah, I mean, it was definitely one of the highlights of my career.
How did you get Steph? I definitely want to ask that.
I have people that help me get deals. So
his people talk to Steph's people.
Yeah. Everyone's different. Like, most of the time people that represent players reach out to me. But it's very like the low, not low, but kind of like mid-tier players and some low players, but, the big players rarely reach out. But at the end of the day, people usually seem quite shocked when, I say that, but, people work for these players to get deals. Like their job is to make the player money. So it's not that kind of crazy. I have a few people that are in the signing circles and they have good relationships with players. And, some of them have been able to land me some pretty good players. And, yeah, they've been definitely the biggest asset of my business. And outside of that, I also just hit up agents, you know, just like Halliburton, he's with CAA. You know, I've done with CAA, I've done Obi Toppin, I've done Josh Green, I've done Patty Mills, I've done Donovan Mitchell. Like, they've got a suite of Carmelo Anthony that as well that's coming out. But they've got a suite of like 50 to 100 players. So it's like
that agency, haven't they?
Have a list and go pick who you want. So it's really not that interesting.
What about product ideas, I guess? Like, when obviously something like Steph Curry, it's a card range, it comes out. Have you ever thought about extending past cards or into other areas or other projects, getting multiple players together? Like, what would your dream be?
Oh, dream.
For people listening at home, Tyson just had this smile come onto his face then. So I feel like this has peaked.
There was a few questions there. There were one question, but I tried jerseys because everyone was like, "You got to do jerseys." They didn't go well, which was interesting. I just got, you know, because I think I just kind of wanted it to fail to kind of tell people, see, I was right. Not fail, sorry, but like, because I was like, why? Because everyone keeps telling me, "Oh, get jerseys, do jerseys in place." And I was like, why would you buy a jersey from like an artist? Like, you can buy a jersey signed from anywhere. Like, why would I waste my money getting signed jerseys? Like, so I did it with Rodman and Allen Iverson, and like they sat there while the cards sold out instantly. So I was like, good, they didn't work. So I tried the other product. A lot of people want posters and canvases, but again, I feel like those aren't good ideas because once you buy two of them, your walls, like how many can you get?
You know,
people living in smaller places, people have less wall space than ever. Like, I just feel like, you know, I reckon if you got two or three, then you tapped out. But you could buy a whole shoebox full of cards.
Yeah, that's true.
In terms of the dual, I've done a dual. I'm starting to do dual cards because that's definitely where I've lacked in the past. I did a dual of Allen Iverson and Ja Morant, which was cool.
Okay. That's more of a comp than any, like, than a rivalry. I wonder if you could get rivals on.
I don't know. It's interesting. Rivals, I'm not too sure. Like, I know, obviously, with, like, Panini would have an easier time because it's, like, it's a licensed product, so they don't need athletes' approvals. Whereas I need athletes' approvals. So, I don't know about rivals. I mean.
I'm thinking Lakers, Celtics, that's all.
Oh, yeah.
You've got Carmelo Anthony coming up. What about Carmelo Anthony and George Karl? That would be an absolute cracker.
Yeah, probably not that one. But I do have some duels of Carmelo with another, I guess, like, yeah, another person.
In teammates, duos, yeah.
Yeah, teammates, duos are cool. I definitely want to do more duels. They're hard to do they're very hard to do for me. When they're on card, because they're not stickers. So, like, I might sit down with, you know, Ja Morant was, I think, August, and then Allen Iverson was December. So there was like a 5-month period. So it's like, that's a lot of money to invest in that, and then you can't sell it for 5 months until the other player signs it. A lot can happen in that time. Like, it's a big risk, but some could be easier. You could find a better timeline and everything, but But yeah, and then what did you mention? The
dream project.
I mean, it's impossible, but it would definitely be on card autos of Kobe. Like, that would be to do that. Something of Kobe would be definitely my dream project. So
you did do the artwork for the Melbourne visit, the Mamba Mentality.
Yeah, I did that, and I've done a bunch of stuff with Panini. I've probably done a dozen. Memorabilia pieces. I did a card set of Kobe. It was called Hero vs. Villain. My name's not on it, but so I've done a bunch of stuff, and I even used to do work for Kobe's, well, not work, but I used to help Kobe's website and community back. I don't know, he had like a KB24 community way back before social media. That was really fun, and that's how I actually met him as well. Because I was helping out with a website, and then they just allowed me to meet him, which is pretty cool. But it would be more so because, like, to collaborate with him, like, without these big companies would be my dream. But obviously, that can't happen.
Yeah. And I know he was actually in a very creative space just before he passed. He was into, like, children's novels, and he was really exploring things too. Yeah,
and he won an Oscar, didn't he?
Yeah. Academy Award. I think that's the same thing.
For Dear Basketball, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah. So that would be cool. But, you know, hopefully I can do something, Kobe, at some point. But I want to go through the right channels.
Make sure the spelling's right on all your Kobe work.
Did I screw up something?
No, on the statue. Oh, did you not hear?
Oh, yeah.
Calderon. Jose Calderon was spelt wrong and someone else on the statue.
Von Wafer.
Yeah.
Coach's yeah, decision.
Pretty, yeah, that's unfortunate, isn't it?
Well, I was going to say there's going to be two more statues at Crypto, so.
Yeah, I found that a bit strange, but yeah.
Trying to make anything Kobe unique, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it would have been cool if they just launched all three at one time because that would have been
amazing.
Sick. Yeah, because I just
like go from one statue and go, by the way, here's the next one and here's the next
one. That's what I thought they were doing when they announced it.
Yeah.
But then it's like, oh, we're going to wait for them. So I assume they'll be on what, Kobe's birthday or something later. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm interested to see the next ones.
Yeah, I think if they did do all three on the same day, the quality control would have even been worse, boys. So you're probably better off waiting just a little bit more, I reckon.
Yeah, we would have got a sticker statue.
Or an NFT, maybe.
Oh, goodness. Have you tried to work with LeBron James?
No.
Okay. Because I'm trying to think of greats.
Nah, he's exclusive with Fanatics and Tops now.
Yeah.
If I wanted to work with him, I could do it through Tops.
Yeah.
I think I was doing their their cards of like their big moments. Like I'd done one of I was doing them with CJ Stroud. And I did a Wemby one which didn't launch. And then I think that was around the Brady timing. With the Brady stuff going on, and then LeBron broke the record, so I just feel like they weren't going to use me for that 40K moment with everything that was going on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, the only way I could work with LeBron would be through Tops now.
Okay.
Because he's just, yeah, he went from Upper Deck to Tops.
And there's no technicalities with memorabilia, trading cards and other things. It's just, like, exclusive rights to everything for LeBron.
Yeah, so I think I mean, I've never seen their contracts, but I've definitely kind of like heard when speaking with people that represent players, and a lot of the contracts are like they'll have an exclusivity to memorabilia or have an exclusivity to trading cards, but not both. But I think now it's like they'll have an all-round exclusivity, like trading cards and collectibles, I think they'll probably call it now. Oh, sorry, memorabilia and collectibles.
So really quick segue, you talked about Wemby before. Did you see the baseball card that just came out today? It's the Victor Wembanyama baseball card. It's got the rookie logo on it, on card autograph, and they've taken a patch that looks very, very similar to the San Antonio Spurs patch.
Oh, okay. He's had a handful of baseball cards that have come out. I think he had one of his first cards ever was like a first pitch card, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, autographed, yeah.
I feel like this one, they're really pushing the boundaries of what they can get away with in terms of, you know, putting rookie logos onto it. It's got the patch in it. Where are you at with stuff like that? Actually, I'm interested to hear your opinion because you've actually dealt with these companies firsthand. So,
I mean, I don't know. They would have paid a bucket load of money for Wemby. So they're trying to launch everything right now. Like,
yeah,
they're
right.
I mean, it just makes sense, doesn't it?
That's the best way to say it, isn't it? Yeah, that's a very practical viewpoint.
They have a very short time frame and there's just a lot going out. But, yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be buying any Wemby card myself. I mean, I don't know. I just don't think big guys hold up. Like, I don't know. I don't want to give anyone financial advice, but look at Jokic, look at Shaq. Like, I mean, I don't know. Name one big guy that's worth a lot. I you can't name one, so why is Wemby going to be that guy? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
The excitement that's currently being generated by that going after market sales is just like through the roof. The blank slates have been selling for more than 5,000 US.
Yeah.
Last week, and this is something that I was going to talk with you on later on, Ad, but this is a good little slide in now because it does feel like this is a bubble that is just waiting to burst, and all the things you just spoke about then is exactly right. And
well, I don't know. It's just hot flavor of the month. Like, it's like, wait, if there was a number one, if there was a hyped up, if number one draft pick next year, everyone would just be like, let's say Bronny was amazing. Everyone would just jump to that. But like, I don't know. This happens every year, doesn't it? Zion.
Yeah. You want to see more than 12 months out of a kid.
Luka, yeah, I don't know. But I think he's very, very good. But I just think long-term, like, is there anyone that's going to, like, a kid's going to grow up going, oh, I want to be Wemby one day? Like, literally no one in the earth can be Wemby. Like,
when I grow pretty... up, I want to be 7'5".
Yeah. It's pretty hard to say that, isn't it? Just for the fact of how freakish he is and like, the things that he can do. He is ridiculously skilled, though, for his size.
Yeah, I think he's a great player. I was just talking about trading card. Like, you know, I think he's amazing. Like, I think he's a great player, but I just find it odd that big guys just don't – the longevity of big guys, they just don't hold. Like, I would have thought, like, and how big Shaq is, like, was back in the day – and then also, like, how he's still, like, one of the most relevant.
He's still in the media every day making headlines, 100%, yeah.
And you can get his stuff pretty cheap compared to, you know, in comparison to a guard, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll say, I mean, when it's all said and done, there's going to be a lot of Wemby. Like, how many Wemby cards will there be? There might be 3,000, 4,000 different individual Wemby cards of his rookie year.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And the baseball cards, don't forget those.
Yeah, it could be more. There could be, I don't know. It could be anything. It could be.
Think of the pop counts of all the tens that are going to come in of all the thousands of different cards.
Well, why is it baseball? Is it because Topps have the license to it? Or
I think they can just get away with that.
So they got the license to UFC. So we're going to see some Wemby UFC cards, or
maybe
Draymond should get his UFC set. Just Draymond on Gobert. Just throw it into a UFC set.
He was at it again today too. That guy, he's a complete lunatic.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Oh, goodness.
So I think I like your comparison of Shaq, but and it's probably better than mine, to be fair, but mine's Duncan, because same team. And Duncan had literally one of the best careers, in my opinion. I've got him in my top five. And so, for me, it's an easy comparison. You look at Duncan rookie values and you look at Victor's and you're like, you know, where is this going to end up? And it's a tricky one, definitely.
That's
for me.
True, yeah. But I guess on the flip side, I've seen more people in public wear Wemby jerseys than I've ever seen someone wear Duncan jerseys.
Yeah.
I went to NBA All-Star Weekend and it was in Indiana. The most common jersey I saw was Curry. Halliburton, obviously that doesn't count, and Wemby. I thought that was very surprising.
Yeah, interesting.
Mm. So. All through the LeBron era, I saw Curry jerseys, and that was as a junior basketball coach. Through 2010 through to 2020, it was like Curry madness.
Yeah, and a lot of Ja Morants. You see a lot of kids love Ja Morant.
They get water pistols and cap guns to go with that, don't they? Rough.
Let's segue back to Tyson Beck. Tell us about your favorite design of a card, like your all-time favorite when you were a kid growing up. What was like the one that influenced you?
That's a good question. I don't think there was. Man, I thought open up a pack of cards and it was like a game worn. I got a game. No game. I guess it's event worn. Is it event worn? Tracy McGrady, All-Star Weekend. I reckon it was his shooting. I don't think it was his jersey. I reckon it was the shooting shirt or something, you know.
Cool.
But I remember just – I didn't really – because I was super, like, new into cards when I just saw a patch and I was like, man, this is sick. I thought it was worth heaps, but it probably wasn't. doesn't answer the question that well, but I just really liked the 90s style card. So it wasn't one specific thing. It was just loud, bright, out there cards that you look back on and I think most people love them. Like, but I even think it was the era. Like, I loved the NBA uniforms back then. Like the Houston Rockets, loud out there, you know, Smoke, the Rocket, the Toronto Raptors, the Detroit Pistons, the big Raptor, the big Piston, Orlando Magic. Everything was loud and out there, bright and bold. And now, like, look at NBA jerseys now. They're boring. They're boring. They're very simplistic. And they just don't do anything for me. And I feel like that's very much like cards as well now. It's just very templated, like, cookie cutter. And I think that's just how everything is going in, like in not even just design, like everything, like you look at the way houses are, it's just very very simplistic and everything. But I kind of liked, maybe it was just like we always like what we grew up as
loud,
kids,
bold 90s design.
Yeah. I was super influenced by that stuff. And I think that was the thing that got me into everything, because I was like, man, this stuff looks sick.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of that behind the way you design your cards? Like the
Yeah, a little bit, but I don't like I don't fully like I wouldn't say like my cards will if you like the 90s, you like my cards. Like
Yeah.
You know, I think it's just like, I mean, I just kind of just do stuff that think that'll work. Like I don't really have like a design process or anything, or like an inspiration board or anything. I just kind of just whatever comes to mind sort of thing. But yeah, I think I definitely would be I guess my stuff would be more looking like inserts, 90s inserts, than today's base cards, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, like doing like a flashback to, I don't know, the Scoring Kings range or something. Like insert sets over the years that have been iconic, like doing something in the same vein.
Yeah, 100%. And that is spot on. But I actually have been trying to put in some more simplistic, what I would call boring cards because some people like them. And honestly, a lot of people prefer that over my usual cards. And I definitely noticed when I did a release of like a more simplistic one, people thought it was very, it was the last to sell out, but then the feedback in hand was actually quite good, because they're like, oh, it actually looks really clean, looks really nice on display. So I was like, oh, I'll give this more of a go.
Yeah.
I think I would just want to provide a mixture. I'm not like one of those artists that are very like stubborn and like, oh, you know, I, you know, it's my way or the highway sort of thing. I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, if people are going to vibe with something, I'll roll with it.
Yeah. I like that. I think it's that whole listen to what your fans want and try and give them something of that. It's not all about, one set design.
Cool. Agreed.
I love the downtown cards with the literal narrative weaved into the card. Is there any cards that you've done like that? A similar sort of process with?
Yeah, I think the downtown cards are awesome. Yeah, I honestly think they're awesome. Probably haven't done anything similar to that, just because I don't want it to be viewed as like a knockoff downtown card.
Yeah.
I know like the Tops have a knockoff downtown card.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Of course.
I think it's like hometown. Oh, no, it might not. I don't know. Actually, home advantage or something.
Okay.
If you look, there's a baseball, it's exactly the same, but it's just their alternative of it. But I haven't done anything close to it. I think it's awesome and I think it should be left alone.
This next ad break is brought to you by Slambox, Australia's best value basketball repacks. Visit www.slambox.com.au to check out the latest series or join the Slambox Facebook page and message them directly. Slambox features big name autos including Giannis, Zion, LaMelo, Banchero, Chet, Ja, Tatum, and more. Super short prints, case hits from a variety of different products including National Treasures, Flawless, Noir, Immaculate, Impeccable, and more. Slambox has different tiered product levels to cater for all budget levels and collector preferences. Thank you, Slambox, for your support.
I'm not going to jump on my little soapbox and talk about regulating the hobby, but if you could make one rule in the hobby purely designed to bring fairness to the hobby, what would it be?
I probably should answer differently. Because I answered before, like no exclusivities would be really good. I think that would be good. But I don't know. Outside of that, I'm not sure. That's a really tough question.
I guess fair is a relative term as well. Like, I guess I'm talking fair to the collectors out there.
Oh, right.
So something I'm thinking about for this is Panini did the Dutch auctions. I think that really leveled the playing field for a little while. And do you do something similar to that with your drops?
Nah, never done that.
How do you manage the drops so that everyone gets an equal opportunity, or do you still suffer from bots jumping in? And
it's a tough one. Some, I guess, like it's a drop by drop kind of. Some of them get attacked by bots, some of them don't, depending on how big it is, how hyped it is. But I don't reveal prices. I feel like if I reveal prices, people can set up bots. I do have bot protection, but nothing's Nothing's guaranteed, but there's ways that I can fully cut out bots. I have that with a collector's club. I have a collector's club, so you need a collector's club role assigned to your account. So if someone went in and bought it, they don't have a collector's club role, you can't even check out. So there'll be a pre-release to collector's club. So I can guarantee that if you're part of the collector's club, those spots, you can get first access. You won't be impacted by bots. But then with the public release, bots do sometimes get through. But if I see them, I just cancel and I delete it and I refund them. I don't want them being a part of my products releases. But yeah, the drop some. No, I don't do the Dutch auctions. I've done a couple like one of one card auctions, which have gone all right. But outside of that, I rarely do auctions. Nah, I just kind of make up a price, and you know, if I can get something. Unfortunately, I think sometimes I put it out too cheap, and then it's like, oh, a Dutch auction would have actually worked for me very financially well, because that's actually a really smart idea, right? Because you basically take the lowest price that someone's willing to pay up into a certain quantity. Like say there's 2,000 boxes and it'll be the 2,000th person. So you're basically selling it at what the market rate is. Is that right?
I think there's a couple of different ways you can do the Dutch auction. And I think the way that you just described then is the Fanatics way. The Panini way they started at a particular price and then people buy them and then they keep dropping the price until the allocation's exhausted.
Oh, that's interesting. And everyone pays the same amount though at the end?
So you'd pay a staggered. So if you jump in at the start, you're like, I really want to make sure I get this, you might say pay $1,000. But then if you wait, it might go to like $975. But, you know, if you wait too long, then it'll all get sold out. So you don't really know. You're sort of sitting there. It's a bit like a game, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's brutal. Yeah. So people are paying different amounts for the same product. Yeah, right. I know the one that it just works out the baseline. I actually think the first time I saw it used was I think it was the Gary V cards, that Zero Cool. I don't know what happened to them. Zero Cool.
Gary V is not welcome to be discussed on this podcast.
Oh, right. Sorry.
I did see that. I remember those. We were checking in. They were selling for, what, $8,000 a box or something?
Crazy. But I think that was like, you could put $20,000 in as a bid, but you're only going to pay what the baseline was, which I think from memory it was, I can't even say. I think it was around like $800,000, something like that. I don't know. It was obviously very successful for Fanatics.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think it was.
I think that was pretty pump and dumped, and particularly in the after sale, there was a lot of, I think, nefarious sales going on to try and pump it up a little bit. And
Yeah.
I don't think it's reselling very well at the moment at all.
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really look into the, what would you call it, pop culture. I'm into sports. I don't really. Yeah. And yeah, that's why I haven't done any of those kind of stuff. I haven't released like, well, I did has Baller, but that was about it. I got enough shit for doing that. So,
did you get to meet him?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Was he funny to talk to? Is he like a bit of a character?
Man, he's a teenager, man. He's a brat. You speak to him. He's got a bit of a, he's got a, what would you call it? I don't know. He's like an 18-year-old kid. He just wants to have fun. He doesn't want to work. So like, if he's got a Coca-Cola in his hand or it's like something, you know, he's having a good time, like he loves Coke. But yeah, he just doesn't want to work. But it was interesting him signing, like he got very, his hand was getting very, very tired. So I felt bad. But it was funny because he doesn't speak English. He only speaks Russian and all his team was there and he was Russian. And apparently he was like going, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this and all this stuff. But my friend from America was with me. He actually speaks Russian. So everything that they were saying, he was telling me what they were saying. They had no idea. So I totally kind of got what was going on and everything, which was handy. But yeah, he was all right. It was still pretty cool to do that card before everyone else. Cause I know when I launched that card, I had people from the companies going, how'd you do it? Give us the details, like who'd you go through and everything. And I mean, it was kind of cool to do it, but yeah, I wouldn't do it again.
Yeah. Okay. I think what we might do is take a break and come back in a couple more days for part two of this, because this did go for a little bit longer than we were anticipating. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for everyone who's been listening on Central Coast Radio and also who's been listening on all of our podcast platforms. Huge, huge thank you to Tyson Beck for coming on to this show and giving his time. And please tune in for part two, because the conversation continues and we talk about more card hobby related topics, and he's got some very good insights into all of these. So catch you all soon, guys. Thanks a lot. Goodbye.